Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 9, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. There is absolutely nothing that you will ever do in this life that is more important than what goes on here Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and twice on Sunday. Absolutely nothing. This is the most important thing for you as royal family of God to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and to fellowship in the absolute truth of the Word of God, to find out what the living and true God has to say to you. You have the opportunity to assemble with positive volition and humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. If you simply bring those two gifts, why then you will grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4, 14. Knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Well, this verse introduces one of the great, great doctrines in the Word of God, and that is the doctrine of resurrection. Now, in the time that our Lord Jesus Christ was living, there were a lot of religious leaders There were scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees, they were very, very self-righteous. They took the name Sadducees from the Hebrew word, tzedek. T-S-E-D-E-Q. Tzedek means righteousness. So the Sadducees are they viewed themselves as the righteous ones. And I agree. And so does Jesus Christ. They were the self-righteous ones. They weren't even saved. Most of the Pharisees, most of the scribes, most of the Sadducees were not even believers in Jesus Christ. But the Sadducees were the aristocratic and wealthy religious leaders that lived in Christ's day. They took on the name, "We are the righteous ones." At the same time, they rejected one of the great, great doctrines of the Word of God. They totally rejected the doctrine of resurrection. Well, we are in the process of studying this phenomenal doctrine, the doctrine of resurrection. We have studied the first three points in our doctrine. Point one was definition and description. And I'm not going to go through everything that was taught last time, but a few high points. There are two returns from the dead. There is resuscitation, and there is resurrection. Resuscitation means a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption, and therefore he eventually dies again. This was Lazarus in John 11:32-44. This was the Apostle Paul in Acts 14:19-20 and 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. Resurrection means a person returned from the dead in a body of incorruption, and therefore he never dies again. Point two was the sovereignty of God and physical death. The death of the believer is always God's victory. It makes no difference if you are a winner believer or a loser believer. All believers in Jesus Christ go to heaven. Distinction among believers is not made until the judgment seat of Christ. The believer's death means he is absent from the body and face to face with the Lord in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. And the Lord's timing is perfect. Never too soon, never too late. Death always comes at the exact right time. No matter how accidental a death may appear, or no matter who was negligent or at fault, the death of a loved one was all in God's perfect timing and from His own wisdom. And that brought us to point three. The pattern for the first resurrection. There are two general resurrections. The first resurrection is for believers only. The second resurrection is for unbelievers only. Point three is the pattern for the first resurrection, the resurrection of believers only. And that is found in 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23 sounds like this. Verse 20, "But as a matter of fact, Christ has been raised from the dead in the past, with the result that he stands resurrected forever. The first fruits," Jesus Christ is Alpha Company. the first fruits of the ones, believers, who have fallen asleep, physical death. Verse 21, for since by the agency of man, Adam, came death, spiritual death, also by the agency of man, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, comes the resurrection of the dead, all believers in human history who have died. Verse 22. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each one in his own, and the Greek word there is the key, in his own tagma. T-A-G-M-A, in his own tagma. In his, and this is a very technical word. It's a, the best translation is in his own company. This is a battalion pass in review. Christ, the first fruits, Alpha Company, and then after an elapse of time, the ones who belong to Christ, church age saints, at his coming, the rapture, that's Bravo Company. So this word, Arntgen Gingrich is the key here, the Greek lexicon, page 810, it tells us that tagma is a military technical term. Military technical term for bodies of troops. So, what this is saying, that the first resurrection, which is for believers only, the first resurrection is pictured as a battalion passed in review. And therefore, it is divided into four echelons. Alpha Company, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20, Acts 2, 29-36. Then comes Bravo Company. We're Bravo Company. That's the resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age. The rapture. John 14, 1-3, Philippians 3, 20-21, 1 Corinthians 15, 51-57, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. Then after that comes Charlie Company. Charlie Company, the resurrection of the Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs at the end of the tribulation, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. Daniel 12:2, Isaiah 26:19-20, Job 19:25-27, Revelation 20:4. And then comes Delta Company, the resurrection of the millennial saints at the end of the millennial kingdom. So the pattern of the first resurrection is a battalion pass in review. So we have, but each one in his own tagma, in his own company, battalion pass in review. That brings us now to point four. We start tonight at point four. And there are two general resurrections. Two general resurrections. The first resurrection for believers only. The second resurrection for unbelievers only. So two resurrections. First resurrection for believers only. And this is the resurrection to eternal life. Turn over to Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Now, I don't know which translation you have in front of you. I'm looking right now at the NASB. It starts out and says, blessed. The word is Makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. Makarios means happy. I love that. What characterizes the first resurrection? Happy. You will be happy. Everyone who believed in Christ at the first resurrection, happy. When you at the rapture, you receive your resurrection body, you're not going to be miserable. You're not going to be a sourpuss. You're not going to be, is this all there is? You know. Not nobody who has believed in Christ. Every single person that has placed their faith, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, what is the resurrection? You're happy. You're happy forever and ever and ever and ever. You're happy. So, verse 6. Makarios, happy and holy. You're holy. Why are you holy? Because you have the righteousness of God. And as church age saints, you have a double portion of righteousness. Because at the moment you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to each one of us His righteousness. And that establishes a grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness of God on the other. We all have the imputed righteousness of God. But not only us, every person in all of human history, at the moment they believed in Christ, were justified by faith. That's Genesis 15:6. Abraham was justified by faith. At the moment he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jesus Christ, he was imputed with the righteousness of God, and he had justification by faith. He had plus R. All believers have had this imputation of God the Father's righteousness. But every one of you, every church age saint, not only have the imputed righteousness of God, but God the Father, but at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Christ. And what is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is absolute righteousness. You're in union with Christ. You also share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have a double portion. Double portion of righteousness. Not only the imputed righteousness from God the Father, which all believers in all of human history have, but the church age saint is also, we're the only ones who enjoy the baptism of the Spirit, identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and His resurrection, current positional truth. We are the only believers in history who are in union with Jesus Christ, royal family of God. We share the righteousness of God. We are the only believers in human history who have this double portion of righteousness. That's the idea of the word holy. Happy and righteous is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. In the first resurrection. The first resurrection is for believers only. Over these, the second death has no power. The second death is the lake of fire. That's the second resurrection for all unbelievers. Over these in the first resurrection, the second death, the lake of fire has no power. But they will be priests of God and of our Christ and will reign with Him throughout the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. So there are two general resurrections. The first resurrection for believers only. Resurrection to eternal life. Revelation 20 verse 6. The second resurrection is for unbelievers only. And this is resurrection to eternal condemnation and judgment. Eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. And this is called the second death. Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and we know this as the great white throne judgment, and him who was seated on it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. This is the second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers in human history. And books, plural, were opened, and another book, singular, was opened, and that book is the book of life. Now, when every one of us were born, every member of the human race was originally in the book of life. And we are in that book of life until the point of physical death. And if at physical death, any member of the human race in that time that you were alive did not believe in Christ, your name is blotted out of the book of life. Everyone is originally in it. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We all were originally in the book of life. But if we die physically and have never placed our faith in Christ, our name is blotted out of the book of life. And that's not going to be an issue for the second resurrection, because everyone there in the second resurrection, they have not believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they are judged according to the books, plural. Now, the books, plural. What is in the books, plural? Works, 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 works. Human good, dead works. Human good and dead works. All the good deeds, all, it says here, kata ta erga. Kata plus the accusative means according to a norm and standard of something. According to the norms and standards of what? Ergon. Ergon. Notice what is not here. Hamartia. Not according to their sins. Their sins will never be mentioned. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. He paid the penalty of the sins of the whole world. At the great white throne judgment, he's not going to open up the books and bring out all their sins. He's not. He's going to open the books and bring out all the things they did, all their works. Human good, dead works. And some of them will, when he brings those out, and the Lord will go through each one. John Doe.
Yeah.
You had 1 million good works. You were such a good, good man. But you did not place your faith in Jesus Christ. You did not believe in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And therefore, since you did not believe in Jesus Christ, you're not in the book of life. Your name was blotted out. And all the million good works you do, when you add those all up, they're still minus R, unrighteousness. And to live with God forever, you must have His righteousness plus R. And that only comes one way, faith in Jesus Christ. And I saw the dead, great and small, these are all the unbelievers in human history, standing before the throne. And books, plural, were opened. Another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what Kata ta erga, according to what they had done, human good, dead works, as recorded in the books, plural. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person, each unbeliever in human history was judged. Kata ta erga. Notice, not hamartia, not sin. Kata ta erga, according to the works that they had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, and at the second resurrection, all their names have been blotted out of the book of life. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second resurrection. Now, there is a passage that Jesus Christ teaches where he has both of the resurrections there. Turn over to John 5. John chapter 5. John 5, starting at verse 28. Jesus Christ is holding Bible class now, and he's pointing out that there are two resurrections which we are studying. First resurrection for believers only, second resurrection for unbelievers only. And Jesus is teaching, and he says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves, every member of the human race, those who have believed in Christ and those who have not believed in Christ, every member of the human race will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done that which is intrinsically good, what is that? They have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will rise to live. First resurrection. But those who have done evil, they have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they will rise to be condemned, the second resurrection. So there are two general resurrections. The first resurrection for believers only, resurrection to eternal life. The second resurrection for unbelievers only, resurrection to eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. And that is called the second death. The difference between the first resurrection and the second resurrection is one's attitude toward Jesus Christ. Turn over to John 3. You're in John 5. Just go back a couple chapters. The difference between the first resurrection and the second resurrection is one's attitude toward Christ. John 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son, in Jesus Christ, he has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So the difference between the first resurrection and the second resurrection is one's attitude toward Christ. John 3:36. As long as any member of the human race is still physically alive, he has the opportunity of entering into the first resurrection by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Now, in my family, my mother was a Christian. She had believed in Jesus Christ as a young girl. She married my father, who was an unbeliever, and then had a bunch of children. I was the firstborn. Then my brother Don, then my brother Mike, then my sister Judy, then my brother Dave. We were all unbelievers. And my dad did not want my mother talking to us about God and the Bible. So we didn't know anything about what the Bible said. And then I was at Rogers High School and between my junior and senior years, and I had a football coach that I really loved and respected very much. I did not know he was a Christian. And he came up to me, he said, "Dick, you ought to go to this camp. It's up in Canada. It's called, it's at Malibu. It's not in California. This is up in British Columbia." He said, "It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go." And I had so much respect for him, I went, along with a bunch of other athletes, and most of the other guys that went, they were already Christians. I was not a Christian. And I went to this camp, and the gospel was presented, and I placed my faith in Christ. And I came home, and I was afraid to tell anybody that I believed in Christ. I thought that my dad had thrown me out of the house. So I didn't say anything. And then one morning at the breakfast table, my mom said, "Rich, what happened at that camp you went to?" I said, "Mom, I've been wanting to tell somebody. I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm a Christian." And my mother just started to cry. And she cried, crying. She said, "I've been praying for all of you boys and for Judy, that the gospel would be given to you and you have an opportunity to believe in Christ." She says, "Everybody knows something happened to you. Your brothers and sister came up and said, 'What happened to Richard? He's nice to us now.'" And I said, "Well, you can tell them I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ." I said, "I didn't think I was doing anything any different than before." "What was that?" "Well, when you believe in Christ, you're indwelt and filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Even though you're a baby believer, manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And I never manifested that to any of my my children, my brothers and sisters." Then I gave the gospel to my brother Don. He believed in Christ. I gave the gospel to my brother Mike. He believed in Christ. Gave the gospel to my sister Judy. She believed in Christ. My brother Dave, he believed in Christ. The whole family was revolutionized. We all believed in Christ, except for one, Dad. And I sit down next to Dad at night. He's sitting on the side of his bed smoking a cigarette. And I'm giving him the gospel. And he says, "Oh, Rich, I'm not, no way would God let me in heaven with all the things that I've done." He says, "I know I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to be in hell." I said, "Dad, I'll be real honest with you. You know you're a sinner, and you think that's why you're going to go to hell, but the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for every single one of your sins. He paid the penalty for your sin. You got one foot in heaven right now. All you have to do is simply believe in Jesus Christ, and he will give you the gift of eternal life. And you'll live with him forever and ever and ever." I said, "Mom's a Christian. I'm a Christian. Mom's going to be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. Don's going to be in heaven. Mike's going to be in heaven. Judy and Dave are going to be in heaven. What, you want to be in hell with all your buddies?" Well, my father was the last of the Olson-Heakins, and he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Simply by believing in Christ, As long as anyone is still physically alive, he has the opportunity of entering into the first resurrection by simply believing in Jesus Christ. First time I ever told my dad, he always kept asking me when I was at Washington State University. I come home, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. God has a perfect plan. He'll show me. I just know that He'll show me. I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. But God has a perfect plan. He'll show me what I'm supposed to do. And then God did show me. He showed me I had the gift of pastor teacher, and I couldn't wait to come home and tell my dad. And he was out on the job. He was in his overalls and his hard hat and a pipe in his mouth. And I ran up to him, Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. And he smiled. What is it? God gave me the gift of pastor teacher. What are you going to be? I'm going to be a pastor in the local church. He bit down on the pipe and broke it. You're not going to be one of those blankety blank blank preachers. I said, oh, no, I'm not going to be one of those yet. Well, that was when his first reaction. But my dad placed his faith in Jesus Christ and he came here. He came here and listened to Bible class night after night. And he told me this was a total change in his mental attitude. He said, Rich, the world needs more men like you doing what you're doing. I said, Dad, I agree with you 100%. He said, this is fantastic just being here and listening to you teach the Word of God. Point five. Physical death is the prerequisite for resurrection. Physical death is the prerequisite for resurrection. Now, there are two exceptions to this, and that is, if you're living in the rapture generation, then you will not go through physical death. And those millennial believers alive at the end of time and human history, they will not die either. So there are two exceptions. The rapture generation of the church age and the millennial believers alive at the end of time and human history. Now, physical death as a prerequisite for resurrection is taught in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 52. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 52. I tell you, it's a great blessing and comfort for Deb and for me to know that her mom and dad are in heaven. They both believed in Jesus Christ, their Savior, and my mom and dad are in heaven. They both believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And not only that, but all of her sisters are believers and believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and all my brothers and sisters believe in Jesus Christ. And it is a great blessing for both Deb and for me. And we're looking forward to the reunion. Physical death that's a prerequisite for resurrection is taught in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 52. Verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I affirm, brethren, royal family, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now Paul uses the phrase the kingdom of God in the sense of the eternal state for the church, the royal family of God. So a couple of things. One, he says we cannot live in eternity in the physical body we now possess. We cannot live in eternity in the physical body we now possess. It is a body of flesh and blood. It is not a resurrection body. So he says, we cannot live in eternity in the physical body we now possess. That body is a body of flesh and blood. It is not a resurrection body. The physical body is not capable of living off of planet Earth out in the universe or in the third heavens as the angelic creatures can. Point two, the perishable refers to the human body, which is subject to physical death. The perishable refers to the human body, which is subject to physical death. Three, the imperishable refers to the resurrection body, which is durable, a durable, permanent body, which can never die again. The imperishable refers to the resurrection body, which is a durable, permanent body that can never, ever die again. It refers to the eternal state where death has been abolished. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I teach you a mysterion. M-U-S-T long E-R-I-O-N. Mysterion. Very technical word. Mysterion refers to mystery doctrine, church age truth. Behold, I teach you a mystery. This is mystery doctrine. This is church age truth. The rapture. He's teaching about the rapture. And what he's saying is the rapture is church age truth. The rapture is mystery doctrine. Nobody knew about the rapture in Old Testament times. This was revealed and taught primarily, well, not just Paul, but also John, communicating the church age truth of the church age. So he says, behold, I teach you a mystery. The rapture is mystery doctrine, mystery truth, church age truth. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. All right, one. Mystery doctrine, or mysterion, applies to this dispensation only. Only to the church age. Not to any other time in human history. And the Apostle Paul teaches this again and again and again. Turn over to Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, starting at verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel, the grace gospel, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, mysterion, hidden, this is church age truth, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. Again, the Apostle Paul is teaching. Verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the dispensation of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mysterion, the mystery, made known to me by revelation, church age truth, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, that is, it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery, musterion, church age truth, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. We're one in union with Jesus Christ. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth, there is racial equality, Jews and Gentiles, that the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body. We are the body of Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. This is all musterion, mystery doctrine. Nobody knew about this in Old Testament times. Nobody knew about the baptism of the Spirit in Old Testament times. Nobody knew about the being in union with Christ, retroactive and current positional truth, and having racial equality, Jews and Gentiles one, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And then over in Colossians 1, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 25. Colossians 1, 25. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery, church age truth that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. And that Christ in you, that's the universal indwelling. Every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, making your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. He is indwelling in you, and God the Father. All of this is mystery doctrine, church age truth. Never occurred before in all of human history, but now. The mystery which is Christ in you. The Holy Spirit makes your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. The hope of glory. So here are these great passages teaching that mystery doctrine, musterion, applies only to the dispensation we live in, the church age. And the resurrection of church age saints, the rapture, is musterion, church age truth. So point two, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, we have the word sleep. Sleep applies only to the physical body. It does not apply to the soul. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, we have the word sleep, and sleep applies only to the physical body, not to the soul. Three, the body sleeps because the soul and the spirit are absent. Absent from the body in an interim body, waiting for the resurrection. So, the body sleeps because the soul and the spirit are absent from that body in an interim body waiting for the resurrection. Four, and also in verse 41, we have the word changed. And change means we receive a resurrection body in exchange for our former physical body. Behold, I teach you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Change means we receive a resurrection body in exchange for our former physical body. Five, Paul is saying we will not all die physically. There's one generation. One generation will receive the resurrection body apart from physical death, and that is the rapture generation. So behold, I teach you a mystery. The rapture is mystery doctrine. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. So Paul is saying we will not all die physically. One generation will receive the resurrection body apart from physical death. That is the rapture generation. Now verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we, church age believers alive at the rapture, will be changed. All right, one. This resurrection, the rapture, occurs in the splitting of an atom. Instantly. It isn't something that's prolonged. It takes place in the splitting of an atom. Two, when God does something with regard to life, it is done instantly. The real you, your soul, was created instantly. Neshama, the spark of life, given at physical birth. The universe was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke and it came into being. Instantly. Three, God provides resurrection bodies faster than you can blink your eye. God provides resurrection bodies faster than you can blink your eye. Four. The trumpet, in verse 52, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we, church age believers alive at the rapture, will be changed. The trumpet refers to the trumpet of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And the trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, well, it's our verse, verse 52. So 1 Corinthians 15, 52, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The trumpet refers to the trumpet of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It is not the same trumpet as that in Revelation 11, 15. It is not the same trumpet as that in Revelation 11, verse 15. Five. The trumpet in Revelation 11, 15 is the herald's trumpet announcing Jesus Christ as the new ruler of planet Earth in the millennial kingdom. The trumpet in Revelation 11, 15 is the herald's trumpet announcing Jesus Christ as the new ruler of the world in the millennial kingdom. Turn over to Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11:15, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. This is the millennial kingdom, and he will reign forever and ever. So the trumpet in Revelation 11:15 is the herald trumpet announcing Jesus Christ as the new ruler of the world. Six, the trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 refers to the resurrection or the rapture of the church. The trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 refers to the resurrection or the rapture of the church. Seven, the trumpet is used only for those church age believers who are already physically dead, living in heaven under ideal conditions of great happiness. Makarios. Happy are those in the first resurrection. The trumpet is used only for those church-age believers who are already physically dead, living in heaven under ideal conditions of great happiness. Makarioi. Eight. So those church age believers who have died will receive their resurrection bodies first. Those church age believers who have died will receive their resurrection bodies first. Then those alive at the rapture will receive their resurrection bodies. So the two categories of resurrection are mentioned here. First category, receive the resurrection bodies through physical death. The second category is alive at the rapture and receive their resurrection bodies apart from physical death. All right. That brings us to point six. The resurrection is the Lord's victory. The resurrection is the Lord's victory. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection. Who's the resurrection? Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. The resurrection is the Lord Jesus Christ's victory. So one, just as the death of the believer is the Lord's victory, so the resurrection of the believer is the Lord's victory. Just as the death of the believer is the Lord's victory, so the resurrection of the believer is the Lord's victory. Two, the resurrection of the believer is the wise and sovereign decision of God. The resurrection of the believer is the wise and sovereign decision of God. We're all going to participate in it. Wahoo! It's the best of the best. This means that the believer's volition and individual merit are not factors in the resurrection. Nothing at all related to the rapture of the church. This is the Lord's victory. For just as we have no control over the manner or time of our death, so we have no control over the manner or time of our resurrection. This is completely a matter of the wisdom and sovereignty of God. Your resurrection does not depend in any way on your works or merit or your life. Winners and losers alike receive a resurrection body equally. It's the Lord's victory. No distinction is made between winner believers and loser believers at the point of receiving our resurrection body. That distinction is made at the judgment seat of Christ. So here is a fantastic principle. Point six. The resurrection is the Lord's victory. Not your victory. It's the Lord's victory. All right. Well, we'll pick it up here. We're getting warmed up. This is a phenomenal doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection. And it just gets better and better and better. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.